is the holiday season.
It is.
And we're all familiar with these standard Christmas characters. You got your Santa.
Sure.
You got the elves.
Yeah.
Reindeer.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that all the kids love. But there's actually another character that's been around for hundreds of years who still has not caught on. You probably know him as the Krampus. He's a demon who comes around at night, snatches up naughty children, and stuffs them in his basket.
Right.
So he can eat them later on.
Right.
Apparently, we found out the Krampus is tired of being hated. He, and he has a very good PR team out here in Los Angeles, are making some changes to soften his image. We got a call, and he wanted to come here tonight to show us the new Krampus. Please welcome the Krampus. Let's get him in here.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Next Door Villain Podcast with Joe and Tiana. We are here today with our day after Christmas special.
We were just one day off.
Yes, so for all of you who need something exciting to do the day after Christmas, you can listen to Next Door Villain Podcast.
Yeah, there's always a weird limbo period between Christmas and New Year's. You're just sitting on the couch in your parents' house. Your mom takes down the tree. Everyone goes back to work. And you just sit there and wait. So wait with us. Spend this weird limbo time with us. Yeah.
Share us with your family. Sit around the fire, listen to Next Door Villain, and then let us know how it goes.
We hope you're listening to this episode. This is about
Krampus. Yeah, all that Christmas-themed babble we did at the beginning was supposed to be leading up to the fact that we're doing a Christmas-themed villain.
And a very Germanic and Alpine one, who is so interesting and so terrifying. Like, just the way he looks is, like, absolute crap. But amazing, horrific face.
Yes. So to back up just a little bit, Krampus is sort of like, in short, a Santa Claus figure, but like the evil version. A gross oversimplification.
Maybe the evil counterpart to Saint Nicholas.
Yes.
Because we know that in Germanic and Alpine cultures, you know, they're really more focused on Saint Nicholas. As the saint, rather than, you know.
Side note, is St. Nicholas and Santa Claus, are they different? Please excuse my ignorance. As
Santa Claus is kind of like derived from St. Nicholas, so St. Nicholas morphed into Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over years and years of storytelling and...
Yes. And St. Nicholas is more like the saint. Like the real saint, like Saint Nicholas. And he looks like a saint. Like when he's depicted in pictures, he looks like a saint. He has the saint hat on. I'm sorry, I'm not Catholic, but.
Did you say you're sorry you're not Catholic?
Yes. I'm sorry. I don't know what the hat is called, but it's a really big, tall hat with, I think, you know, some design on it, probably the cross. And he's dressed in red and he gives treats to children, kind of like Santa Claus, who gives presents. I would say Santa Claus is like, oh, you've been good this year. How about you're going to get a PS5 and you're going to get brand new shoes and you're going to get Nike and we're going to throw a bunch of capitalism in it and I'm going to guzzle Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas, though, is like...
He's like the socialist Santa Claus.
Right. St. Nicholas is like... Oh, you've been so good. Here are some hymns that we're going to sing. Here are some treats. And I'm going to give you some encouragement. Good job, young lad. And he reads from the Bible. And he goes. That, to me, is kind of the difference between St. Nicholas and Santa Claus. To me, anyway. That's how I picture him in my mind.
Saint Nick is like a religious hippie and Santa Claus is a capitalist.
Yeah.
So, this episode is going great so far. But we need to start, like we always do, with our 30-second intro challenge, where we each try to explain the character's full history and detail in just 30 seconds with no prior preparation. And if you want to boost one of our self-esteems, you can go onto Spotify after listening to this episode and vote for who you think did a better job and or is a better person in general.
You get to be Saint Nick and determine if we are good or bad. Congrats to you.
You'll be Saint Nick to one of us, and you'll be Krampus to the other one, who you don't vote for.
Rawr.
Choose wisely. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So Krampus is a Germanic and Alpine creature or entity, and his whole idea is that he harms little kids, or he punishes them pretty brutally if they've been bad throughout the year, and that's kind of his whole deal generally. There are a lot of traditions with Krampus in Austria and in southern Germany, and he's really quite an interesting guy to look at.
Time's up. He's interesting to look at, you say.
That's like the nice Midwestern way to say,
He's ugly.
He's ugly AF. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, Krampus is this creature, person, thing in a lot of folklore, Germanic. I don't know how to say that word. Germanic, Austrian folklore. He's often entails seen as like someone who like comes along with Saint Nick, and Saint Nick doles out the like good judgment, and Krampus doles out the bad judgment. And he's really scary and often has hooves for feet and horns and a big ugly beard.
You know, going into this episode, I would sometimes think like, are we qualified to talk about Krampus, you know? Like, I have heavy German ancestry, and I studied, I learned a lot about Krampus in German class, also about his counterpart, so I thought, yeah, even though we're American, we can talk about Krampus. But then Joe here, he does a 30-second intro challenge, and he's like, Germanic? Just really, really solidifies, you know, our credibility here. Whatever. This is mostly for fun. We're not going to be able to cover everything about Krampus. We are not experts on Krampus, but we do want to kind of spread information about culture from, you know, the Germanic and Alpine cultures. And we know that Krampus is getting more attention. And so we do want to talk about it.
Like, yeah, little defense for me here.
Yes.
I also have a lot of German heritage.
Fancy.
Yeah, yeah. Heinrich is a big last name in one side of my family.
Nice.
So
Hennings is the name of a boy in Germany.
There's a boy in Germany whose name is Hennings?
I learned that Henning, I guess, or Hennings is like a guy's name. But then when I would look it up on the internet, it would say things like, Henning is a little boy's name in Germany. And then I'd be like, I don't know if that changes as they get older or what happens there. But last name, German, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've established ourselves as credible arbiters of the Krampus truth. And yeah. So we did our research. We're both intrigued by this character and we're doing our best. We're certainly not trying to take anything away from people who actually grew up with Krampus in their lives, because there are places where Krampus is a big part of a lot of people's lives and a big part of the tradition and the holiday tradition. Whereas here in America, he's not really well known except for in like dumb pop culture horror films.
Yeah, I don't watch those. But if you really want to learn a lot more about Krampus, like to the point where you're like, wow, this is a lot of information. I will be talking about some of the information found in this book that I read. But if you want to learn more, you should totally check out the book The Krampus and the Old Dark Christmas by Al Ridnour. It's just like a big old book. It's like Krampus Encyclopedia. And I really want to start off by stating a few quotes from this book because it really gives us a good glimpse into understanding Krampus.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, Christmas requires the darkness, a.k.a. Krampus, right?
Mm-hmm.
This next one is, this mancing old world companion to St. Nicholas, a.k.a. the Krampus, shocks us with his brutal threats of punishment for naughty children. But somehow, also, he seems inevitable. Here's another one about pop culture. He seems to express, he meaning the Krampus, seems to express the requisite countercultural contempt for the Coca-Cola guzzling, bloated patriarch of all that is consumerist and parental. So it's kind of talking about how Krampus is kind of the anti-Santa Claus.
Hmm. Interesting.
And he comes from deep-rooted tradition, and he's rough around the edges. He's not that BS Santa commercialization entity that Santa Claus is. So all of those other quotes were from that book, The Krampus and the Old Christmas by Al Ridnour.
Mm-hmm.
This next quote is by my mom. She said, my mom said, quite the guy, end quote.
Ooh, you gotta feel like there's maybe a little bit of a backstory there.
I don't know. I didn't push it far. She just said, quite the guy. That was her Midwestern way of saying, he seems scary.
But like a little edgy, right?
But a little edgy. He makes me want to drink more alcoholic.
Another sip of wine. See how the night goes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, so what I was going to ask you, because I think you really dove into the research more than I did. Do you know, does Krampus predate Christmas stories?
Like what Christmas story? Like the Scrooge?
Like stories of Christmas.
Like Jesus story?
Like the Christmas story? Like, did Krampus begin with, like, at the same time as the Christmas tradition began, or is he from further back even, or do we even know that?
I have learned that his tradition, he goes back centuries, is what the books say.
Yeah.
But he got popular in the 18th and 19th centuries.
So he's really, like, more established and popularized among Christmas traditions.
Mm-hmm.
But he was probably around as a character or a thing in some regard even further back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of one of the things that I find interesting about him is that there really doesn't seem to be a lot of in-depth information about where he originally came from. It's like his beginnings are a little bit vague.
Yeah.
Yet he is still like such a cultural icon, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah. Do you want me to just give an overview on Krampus?
Sure.
And different facts about him. Okay. I think this will be helpful because not all of us know who Krampus is. So.
And that's another thing that was interesting. I feel like I've known of Krampus for most of my life.
Right.
Yeah. So I was surprised when I started reading online and seeing all these things about how unknown Krampus was to Americans. It was a little bit surprising to me. I mean, I obviously didn't know a lot about him, but I'd be interesting to know from our listeners. If you're listening, did you know about Krampus beforehand? Do you know much about Krampus? Is this all new to you? Is this a surprise? We don't know.
Yeah, let us know. We also might have listeners from this region too.
Yeah.
From Austria.
Yeah, if Krampus was a part of your life, we'd love to hear about it as well.
Yeah. So first things first, he is actually more Austrian than he is German. But he is also German, found in southern Germany. Knecht Ruprecht and Belschnickel are similar and are his bad companion counterparts. So they're very similar to Krampus. They come from different areas of the Germanic regions.
Yeah, and I would say maybe most Americans know Belschnickel from The Office when Dwight has a Belschnickel-themed Christmas party and decides whether or not people are good or impish.
Of course, Dwight would have that.
Yeah. Dwight, strong German heritage in his family. So it sort of makes sense that he did pull that tradition, but
right?
Unrelated, I mean, loosely related to Krampus.
Yeah. What he looks like, he has like a long tongue. He has horns. He kind of looks like a ram on hind legs. He's very scary. He sometimes has fangs. He's furry. He carries a birch stick, switches. and he growls sometimes. If you haven't seen a picture of Krampus, do it. He's quite riveting.
And there's a lot of great Krampus art out there, too.
Yes, yes. Look that up. So his story goes back to the idea that he does terrible things to children if they've been naughty throughout the year. His tradition goes back centuries, but he became popular in the 18th and 19th centuries, as we said. He punishes or carts kids off in a basket to later be torn limb from limb, tossed into a pit or lake, or eaten. He might drag kids to hell. In some places, it's considered that he swat them with a birch rod or swat them with a switch if they're bad. He was basically used by parents to ensure that kids behave well throughout the year. So if like a kid isn't going to bed on time, you can be like, oh, you better do it. Otherwise, at the end of the year, Krampus is gonna get ya. 10 out of 10 parenting there. And, I mean, hey, I'm not judging. That actually seems kind of effective. I don't know.
I'm for sure gonna use that. Most fathers dress up as Santa Claus, but I'm going to be Krampus for sure.
Oh, no. So, but there are a lot of traditions that are done in Austria that are related to Krampus. Men dress up as Krampuses on Krampusnacht, which is usually on December 5th, and they run and walk through parade-like events. So there's like a bunch of Krampuses kind of going through a parade, and there's onlookers getting scared of them, and they playfully growl at people, and they drink, and they do some shrieking. In fact, and sometimes they even fight each other. Two Krampuses might fight each other for entertainment, and the people will be like, yeah, and then they'll be growling, and they'll kind of come at each other with their horns on their head and do like rough play.
When you say Krampuses, mm-hmm. Is Krampus one entity, or is it a Krampus, kind of like a species of entities?
I think it's like one Krampus, and everyone is dressed up as him.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Maybe Krampus can appear in different shapes at the same time.
Maybe. I don't know.
If he's got to visit all of the children. I think I just figured out Santa Claus, too. He's a spirit. Uh-huh. Or, you know, a spirit-like thing that can appear in multiple places all at once so that he can visit everyone in one night.
That's a really cool theory.
Yeah, and that's why there can be Krampuses. They're all really the same thing, but they're in all these different places at once, appearing in, you know, similar form.
Yeah, I don't really know what the Krampuses think of that, you know, like the men who dress up as Krampuses. I don't know. I would love to know their opinion on, you know, what they think the entity of the Krampus is. And, you know, you should, you know, watch a YouTube video of Krampusnacht sometime. It's really cool. I would love to go to one someday. Mm. I would love to dress up as Krampus. And that would just be so cool. They get really into the decoration of Krampus and having their own take on the monster look. You can tell that they spend a lot of time on their outfit. And another tradition that happens in some regions is that St. Nicholas, Krampus, and an angel will visit homes in different parts of the town to review kids' behavior throughout the year. Like, they'll actually do that. Like, people, one guy will dress up as a Krampus, one guy will dress up as St. Nicholas, and then there will be an angel. And they'll go visit homes, and they'll sing songs, do some poems, and St. Nicholas offers encouragement to the child, and then Krampus is kind of sitting there, and the kid is a little nervous because Krampus is sitting there in the hallway and is a little anxious about Krampus, but Krampus doesn't actually do anything bad. He's just kind of there as like a warning. And then he might playfully come out and swat the home dwellers with some switches, like the parents, like, hee-hee, this is so funny, just as their take on the tradition.
And that's like, that's a real life thing that happens, but it's based upon the story of the fact that St. Nick and Krampus would go out together to visit these homes, and children who were bad, Krampus would deal with, and children who were good, St. Nick would deal with. And I thought that was rather interesting, and really how I dove into empathizing with Krampus, because I feel like he is kind of forced to do, maybe not forced, he probably enjoys it, the dirty work that Saint Nick doesn't have to do. And it's annoying, I think, to have to be in that position and to not be in a place or an existence where those two things can live together in one person. And now that I'm thinking about it, this is a completely new thought that I'm having in this particular moment. Santa Claus is sort of like a super watered down version of Saint Nick and Krampus. You know, he brings the gifts for the good children, but he also keeps track of who's naughty and then gives them coal, which is obviously like way less of a punishment than hitting them with a switch or dragging them down to hell. But in that sense, Santa Claus is almost more nuanced in that he's allowed to be both the bringer of bad and good.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Krampus and St. Nicholas become more nuanced together, side by side.
I guess it's interesting to think about. It does seem like they are a team. And so when you think of it that way, you're like, oh, if St. Nick is supposed to be this good guy, why is he working with this bad guy? And maybe that, like, in a higher way of thinking, it's not that there's this good guy and this bad guy. It's that there are multiple ways to be in the world, and they choose to work together because their strengths lie in different areas, and they understand that they both must exist in order for there to be, I don't know, peace and understanding in the world or whatever. I don't know.
In order for there to be good, there needs to be bad, and they need to balance each other out.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, yeah, otherwise, like in most stories, most American stories, I guess, the good character and the evil character would be in conflict with each other. Yeah. But in this story, they seem to work together.
Yeah. Not to make it more complicated, some would say that Krampus is St. Nicholas's companion. Others might say that
he's his
Krampus
lover.
Is... I mean, maybe.
Sorry, I don't think anyone said that. It sounded like the logical next line to come out of your mouth.
Right?
All right.
Some would say that Krampus is St. Nicholas's servant.
Hmm.
And that changes things.
Yeah, that's a less good way of looking at it. But also certainly more sympathetic towards Krampus. He's like this ugly looking dude, half goat person that has to serve this saint.
Yeah.
And do all the things that the saint doesn't want to have to do himself. Even though the saint clearly endorses these naughty things, but can't do it on his own. Like, he has to outsource his bad deeds.
Yeah, he's just like, hey, Krampus, why don't you awkwardly stand there with all your fur and drool, and on my call, you drag him. You drag him down.
Yeah, that way everyone will love me.
Right.
Even though I'm the one who's directing all of this.
Yeah. There are a lot of cards that became popular, like, in the 19th century called Krampusgarten. And on the cards, it'll be like art with Krampus, sometimes just Krampus, or sometimes Krampus and St. Nicholas. And it would say, Gruß vom Krampus, which means greetings from Krampus, which is so funny to me that people are spreading holiday cheer with Krampus, like on a card. They know that in order to enjoy the holidays, there has to be some mischief from Krampus and some fun evil to embrace.
Yeah, it's a nice little nod to the nuance in life. Whereas I think, again, not a fully fleshed idea about to come out of my mouth, that in a lot of Christian culture, at least, there's all this emphasis on being good and not being a sinner. And it almost feels like in the Krampus story and the existence of Krampus almost seems to recognize evil and mischief as something necessary in life. And I mean, obviously the story is that you get punished for it, but it is kind of refreshing to see it recognized and celebrated in a sense.
For sure. There's another quote from the book that I like. He said, "Even a small taste of fear can be a treat." It's a little nibble.
That's true, and it really hits home for me because I am big ol' scaredy cat. I'm pretty scared of the dark. This year I bought a house, and I used to live in a tiny little apartment, and I'm okay with it now, but I was pretty scared every night when I was home alone. Anyway, so the point is, I'm a scaredy cat, but I do really like scary movies, and I like going to a haunted house, because there's something just like a little bit thrilling about that fear.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Every year, just about every year, I go through this like month-long phase where I scare myself with ghost YouTube videos. And I always regret it that night. Like later that night, I'm like going to the bathroom and I'm like running to the toilet and I'm like washing my hands, and then I run back to my bed and I jump in. But it's because I like do this month-long thing of like looking at a YouTube video of these cabinets opening up, and then I get freaked out.
But there's a little something in you that wants to see it.
Yeah, exactly. I even lived next to a cemetery for 2 years. Nothing happened that was ghost-related. I was very disappointed, but also not really, because I also would have been really scared. But anywho, yes, we all want that. And why not have it in the holiday season?
Yeah, that is one thing that annoys me about Christmas, is how happy and merry it is. And, you know, it's supposed to be this happy, merry time, but like all of the Christmas movies, all of the holiday films are about these terrible like family situations where there's all this pressure on everything being great and good, and then it all boils over and explodes and comes out in these negative ways. There's all these stereotypes about how holiday parties with the family and whatnot always turn out bad because they're supposed to be so good. And again, the story of Krampus is kind of a nod to the fact that that stuff is out there. And if we recognize it and accept it, it relieves the pressure and the tension of like having to make everything a perfect holiday.
Yeah.
Or a perfect life in general, I think, to expand the metaphor. The recognition of the existence of that evil relieves the tension of having to be good always.
I agree. So one interesting thing from that book, he talked to some people who do these Krampus traditions, who go to Krampusnacht, and they bring their kids to see Krampus like in the parade. And the Krampuses are like, they're growling, they're really, really scary. Like they do a really good job on their Krampus outfits. And they're really scary and they growl and they fight each other. And they get really close to you for fun. They get really up close into your face and show their teeth. And some kids get really, really scared of it, some don't. And so there was this discussion of like, oh, is that kind of mean to your child to like bring them to the parade and get them scared of Krampus? And a lot of parents were like, no, I want my kid to practice facing their fears and to embrace the Krampus. And then next year, they're going to be more comfortable with the Krampus. Just kind of like with all things in life, you have to condition your kid to understand that sometimes things will be scary and you just have to face them.
Yeah. And to know that your actions have consequences, but not to be so scared of those consequences that you never take any risks.
Yeah, exactly. You have to get a little scared, but you just keep marching forward.
Yeah, fear, well, like all emotions, like as my therapist would say, no emotion is a bad emotion. They're all useful to some degree. And fear, too much fear can be negative, but the right amount of fear can be a really motivating factor to get you out of dangerous situations or to make choices that are going to be better for you or other people. So yeah, it's good to develop a healthy relationship with it. And if Krampus can do that, then that's great. Good for him.
Good for you, Krampus. Yeah, I don't know how I would have felt if I were a kid that knew about Krampus and grew up with the tradition and was told that like, if I'm not good, Krampus is going to come. I don't know how I would have felt about it.
I would have been terrified. There's a picture of me when I was younger, and I think I have a memory of it, but I'm not sure if it's a memory or if it's just what I was told, and then I like learned to think, and I created that memory. But I was really scared of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, mascots or like character, like big costume characters. And there's like, I think a picture of me, and it was like a cat that was on television or something that like taught you stuff, and he like wore like overalls. I don't remember his name or anything, but it was one of those character costumes of the cat. And I was like running, like I was like crying and
Oh no!
Like trying to get away from it. So I think Krampus for me would have really terrified me.
Yeah, I think as a kid I would have rather been threatened with Krampus than spanking. So 10 out of 10 would rather do Krampus than getting hit.
Right. Granted, that's kind of Krampus's thing, is that he hits you with birch branches. Right.
But it's just a threaten at that point, right? Like, it's not Christmas yet, right? But you do something bad, like in July, and they're like, you don't stop watching Powerpuff Girls for hours, you're going to get Krampus.
Was that the biggest thing you did wrong? You watched too much Powerpuff Girls?
I watched too much TV, I guess. Like when I was like maybe in elementary school, maybe they tried really hard to like monitor my TV. And if I like threw a fit because I really wanted to watch Powerpuff Girls, then yeah, I actually got hit. So, and I went to this daycare that would spank kids all the time. So Krampus is better than my daycare lady.
Oof.
Sorry, Carol.
I got threatened with the wooden spoon a lot, but I don't think it ever got used. I don't have a memory of it. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I remember getting threatened with it.
Ouch. Yeah, I wouldn't have liked the wooden spoon.
A wooden spoon is better than... and not to rank these things, you shouldn't do this to your kids.
You shouldn't be hitting your kid at all.
But at least a wooden spoon has no whip to it. Like a stick can like kind of whip, and that's worse.
Yeah. There's more speed through that air.
Yeah.
90s kids. I don't know. We were like so close to like...
We were right on the edge.
we were right on the edge where like it was about to not be okay. But yet we're still a little too old to where like it still was quote unquote okay.
Yep. What else? I've retired my particular thoughts.
So yeah, I have a question that we can answer.
Oh yeah?
Why not talk more about our personal lives for all to hear?
One reviewer on Apple Podcasts requested that we include more personal information. So
Is that a recent rating?
No, it was like a few months ago, but it really stuck with me, I guess. So if you're still listening, here we go.
I'm going to rip it out and put it on a platter for you to eat like Krampus. Anywho, my question to you, Joe, is would Krampus come punishing you? AKA, have you been naughty this year? Why or why not?
It's a difficult question to answer, right? Because like naughty and nice is so relative to who you are. So like if I look at like general societal standards, like did I break any laws? No, at least not that I know about. Was I like generally decent? Did I try my best at whatever I did? Yeah, I think so. Are there people in my life who might consider me naughty?
Your exes. <I'm just kidding. laughs>
I don't even think so. You know what? I feel pretty good about this year, honestly.
Okay.
You know, I did go through a breakup recently, but I really felt like I put in the effort in that relationship. It was a good relationship, and I worked really hard to try to see if it could work, even when things started to get rocky and we went and saw a couples counselor and ultimately decided to part ways. Mm-hmm. But I feel really good about that, and I don't think I was naughty. Whereas in other relationships throughout my life, where when I was less mature, I think I often backed out of them without really putting in the work to see if they would be good. And ultimately, I'm happy that those prior relationships ended, but I feel like I could have done a better job with how I approached the end of those relationships. And I think I was a little bit naughty. But this year, I think I don't want to say I was nice, but I don't think I was naughty. I don't think Krampus would have had much to complain about. And you know what? It also, I think, it means a lot that I can even say that, because I'm not very good at speaking up for the good things that I do, but I'm trying to be better. And this is me. This is me doing that now, feeling good about a lot of the decisions I made this year and the way that I really feel like I came into myself more as a person than any other year in my life so far. So that's my spiel, and that is not at all how I thought it would go when I started it, but here we are.
Here we are. And I like this question because I get to kind of act like Saint Nicholas a bit here, right? Because Saint Nicholas kind of reviews the deeds and sometimes will hear the case. So I get to be like, am I convinced? Well, I mean, yes, I'm convinced. But I also don't have much to work on.
Oh, I was nervous there for a second.
Yeah, I was a judge. I'm not nearly as scary as Krampus, though. I was as scary as him. Sometimes people might take me more seriously. Anywho, I'm actually just sidetracking this question.
Oh, okay. So, so you're stalling because you don't want to answer. Have you been naughty or nice this year? Would you be more approached by Krampus or Saint Nick?
I think that I have been working really, really hard throughout this whole year to improve myself and to like cultivate my crafts. But I feel like I've been a little bit too focused on myself, where sometimes I feel like maybe I could have spent more time volunteering or checking in with people more. I just felt that like 2020 was just so hard for me and for so many people. And so is 2021. But I've improved a lot. But in order to improve my mental health, I really, really focused on myself and like my own skills and my own crafts that I may have forgotten about some people.
Right. But like maybe you couldn't have, you know, like, right. Like maybe you wouldn't have been able to work on yourself as much if you had spent all your time on other people. And now that you've put in all this work for yourself, you know, maybe that puts you in a position to do better for other people in the future than you would have been able to do had you not taken this time for yourself.
And I think maybe I'm just acknowledging that I need to have more of a balance.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not like, not that you need to have more, but maybe that's what you would like to do more.
Maybe.
Right? Like it's that, like maybe that can be your aspiration, but it's not like there was anything wrong with not doing it, you know, for the balance to be more on yourself. It's like, but now you're looking forward and you're thinking, this is what I want. And so this is what I'm going to work towards.
Right.
I judge you not naughty.
Great. Not nice either. Because who is really fully naughty? Who is really fully nice? This whole podcast is about nuance, people. Nuance.
Yeah.
Screw Santa Claus putting people in boxes. I don't know him. Oh, one other fact I forgot to say is that Krampus comes from claw, the word claw in German, or from the Bavarian Krampen, referring to something lifeless, dried out, or shriveled. Forgot to mention that earlier. I actually think that Krampus is very lifelike, but in a dead kind of way. I don't know if that makes sense. He's like dead but alive, but in a very cool way.
Yeah, lively, but deadish.
Right. Me.
All right, so before we end this episode, I've got a poem here that Tiana sent to me and asked that I read, I think, to give a more Krampus-y sounding voice to it, so I'm going to do my best. The poem is called Oh My Krampus, though Tiana didn't tell me if it's Oh My Krampus, or if it's like, Oh My Krampus. So, yeah, I guess you can interpret it however you like. And I'm just going to dive right in and do my best Krampus impersonation. So here we go. Teeth come from the earth. When it chomped through the ocean floor and ate the sea creatures. My hairs are unladylike.
I don't shave. They come from your irritable father's beard. My breath. It comes from their last whimpering breaths. So many last breaths. Drool comes from the others' sweat out of their ears. The slobber? I'll make you drink like warm milk on Christmas morning. Feel naughty and I will learn your sodium intake. You see my eyes? They don't come from anywhere else but you.
That's all I have.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you had a good Christmas and or holiday season, depending on what you celebrate, whether it be Santa, St. Nicholas, Krampus, or any of the other holidays that happen around this time of year or any time of year. I'm clearly very ignorant about them, but I'm trying to cut all this out of the episode when I edit it.
Not unless I keep it in and you forget. Yeah. And again, if you're interested in learning more about Krampus, because it is honestly impossible to say everything about him in one podcast episode, check out The Krampus and the Old Dark Christmas by Alred Nord. Highly recommend it. It's a very good book. And the author also has his own podcast called Bone and Sickle. You know, happy holidays. Have a good New Year's. We'll be back in January. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Next Door Villain. You can join our Facebook group called Next Door Villain. And you can find us on TikTok at Next Door Villain Podcast. And rate us 5 stars.
Hey, yeah, whatever you want to rate us, but we hope it's 5. Anything less and we will stay awake at night wondering how we can please you more.
Right. Yeah. Happy New Year's.
Thanks for listening.